turn to Mark. Mark chapter 1. See better with these. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 34 tonight. We'll be looking to those scriptures. We're not going to read them all, but starts out in verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we just ask that you speak again to our hearts, that we might see what you'd have for us tonight. For each one of us here, and Lord, we all have needs in our life. And Lord, we just pray that you'd meet us at the point of those needs tonight, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Here in our passage of scripture tonight, we see Jesus doing what he said or he had come to do, preaching salvation in verse 14. It's interesting, just as John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel. The messenger may be in prison, but the message cannot be stopped, can it? No matter what they do, they can't stop the gospel of Christ. Paul was in bonds, we remember, and he said, "The word of God is not bound." The truth of the word of God never can be stopped. It's always going to go forth. Christ, the gospel, is preached. Jesus was a different kind of a preacher than we are today. Others have a message of to deliver. Each Sunday, I prepare a message to deliver. But you know what? He was the message, wasn't he? He is the message. Not only the messenger, but the message. And he preached the message of salvation. He preached repentance towards God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us to repent and believe in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From age to age, the message is repent. Repentance and faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, then we must repent and put our faith in Jesus. Now, repentance means you've got to turn your life around. It means to change, actually, to change your mind, you know, about the direction you're going, your attitudes towards Christ, your life. You turn from something and you turn to, in the faith witnessing program, you turn from sin and you turn to Christ. I think of when I think of somebody turning their life around, I always think about Luke, the prodigal son. When he made up his mind to go to the Father's house, it was more than just thinking about it, more than just making up your mind. He had to literally turn his life around and leave where he was and go back to his Father. You see, there's a change about your attitudes and your action and your mind about something. And then a mere sorrow. A lot of people are sorry for sin's consequences, aren't we? Oh, we're sorry, Lord, we're sorry for the consequences, you know. But that's not sufficient, is it? We're sorry. A lot of times we didn't get caught. We're sorry about, you know, the consequences of sin. We don't like that. But, you know, it means a change in your heart and sorrow for not only the consequences, but what you have done to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, it breaks God's heart when we sin. You know, tears of joy can never be experienced until, one, we have tears of repentance in our hearts. We've got to literally want to change our life and our direction for God. And then he says, not only repent and change, but believe in the gospel. It's a move in a different direction from what we're now doing. If you're out there living in sin, you've got to change your direction. Make a commitment. A lot of people, you know, they want to change, but they don't want to make a commitment. I just put that where I hit it all the time. Right there. You know, belief is not merely up here, folks. We believe a lot of things. It's getting it in our heart. And a lot of people today have it up here. We know what the Bible says. We know what about Jesus Christ, but we do not put it down into our heart where we're really sorry for our sins. And there's no commitment in our life. Jesus came preaching, he said, that we need to believe in our heart, repentance from sin, and faith in Jesus Christ. Then he also called, I think in the next part of these scriptures, especially 16 down, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew's brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Jesus not only come preaching salvation, but he come calling soul winners. Now, folks, Jesus not only called for people to repent, turn their life around, and start believing, but he also calls us to do something with our life. We're not just saved to sit, you see. He didn't save us so that we could sit on a comfortable pew each Sunday and hear a word or hear singing and praising to God and go out there and do nothing the rest of the week. He called fishermen. Now, ordinary men, Simon and Andrew, were fishermen. Now, sometimes we get the idea, if we don't have an education, if we don't have a degree, or if we don't have all this stuff, we can't be useful to God. But let me tell you what, I've heard of a lot of self-made men. And you know what self-made men do? We make self-made messes, don't we? You've got to turn your life over to God. And when God teaches you something, if God trains you in the direction you'll go, I believe he called ordinary men because there's something about an ordinary man that God can use. He don't think as much of himself as what so highly of themselves, and they'll let God use them. Also, notice that he used language they understood. Man, that's the reason I like to hear someone like Brother Bob Pittman. You know, he knows all kinds of Greek and Hebrew, but he don't throw those words out there so you don't understand them. He uses a good old solid everyday English where we know fishers of men. They knew how to fish. These men were fishers. They knew where the fish were. And he called them not only to be fishers for fish, now he's called them to be a fisher for men. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you like fishing? Raise your hand. Okay. When you catch a big old fish, what do? You want to, Carol's got the idea. You want to show it off, don't you? Man, let me tell you something. When you catch a fish, if you look through my phone, when I catch a big one, we take a picture of it. We don't take a picture of them little bitty ones. We just throw them back. You know? You don't want to show nobody the minnows you catch. You want to show them the giant you catch. Now, if you kill a big old buck like old Tom over here, man, everybody knows about it. They may not want to know about it, but he's going to take pictures of it and send it out. And he don't understand if you don't take pictures of it and send it out. Something's wrong with you. But we like to show things like that off, don't we? Well, let me tell you something. It's the same way when you're winning souls for Christ. If you go out there and you win a soul for Christ, Man, let me tell you something. It's going to make you feel like $1 million. Because that's what God has called us to do. And you're proud of yourself. But not only that, that's what God wants you to do. And you know, every time a soul is won to Christ, and you go out there and witness, and the soul is won to Christ, no matter where you might be, I tell you what, the angels in heaven rejoice, and our Father rejoices too. Folks, there's nothing like winning someone to Jesus Christ. Nothing like it in this world. There's nothing better than knowing somebody has entered into eternity because you shared the gospel. Now, I know it's the Holy Spirit who wins that person. But, you know, He uses ordinary people who are committed and obedient to Him. And if you don't know how to share the gospel, well, learn how to share the gospel. It's not very hard. All you have to do is tell people what happened in your life and how you came to know Jesus Christ, what you were before you became to know Jesus Christ. And you don't have to elaborate on all the sin. Just tell them, you know, this is what I was before Christ, and after Christ came into my life, this is what I am now. And it's all because of Christ. And then He calls us to be committed to Him. In 18, I'm not going to read that. They followed Him, you see. They left their nets immediately and followed Jesus Christ. What a testimony. What a commitment they had. They heard the call, and they were committed to the call. Man, I praise God every day that He called me to preach. And He's called me to this church. I was telling Rhonda, you know, the other day, we were sitting there at the house, and I said, you know, God has been so blessed. We're so blessed in our life. We've gone so many places that God has led us, and all the lives that have been changed and touched. Man, I just thank God every day for giving me that opportunity to preach salvation, to be a soul winner for Him, and to make a commitment to Him. You see, that's what He wants. And then I love the last part of this in 20 through 34. There's a healing ministry that we have. Jesus, He went on to Capernaum to a synagogue there. It was a place of worship, and He taught the Scriptures there. Now, I believe in Capernaum things were pretty dead. Somebody said, you know, I don't go to a church because it's dead. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus preached at churches that were dead all the time, and He never gave up. Folks, we must continue to preach the gospel. And the Bible says, as Jesus taught, they were astonished. They were, we use another word for that, dumbfounded, you see. This man, where did he get his knowledge? He spoke as one having an exciting freshness with the Father. He spoke of one as having authority. You didn't know church could be exciting, did you? Well, it can be exciting, and it's interesting. The Word of God is always interesting. And man, I tell you what, if you're missing Wednesday night, you're missing a blessing. Brother Perry said he's going to start on Genesis. I pray that he's well enough by then. If not, we'll start. We'll do something. But you come on back on Wednesday night and learn these scriptures that he teaches. By the way, he had pneumonia, and he's at home now doing well. They give him antibiotics and everything, and he's going to be resting up for a while. So keep praying for him. But then there's always in the growing of the church, and there's the filthiness of sin. Right in the middle of the message, in verses 23, there's a man with an unclean spirit. Not only did he have an unclean spirit, he was unclean. Sin makes us unclean, doesn't it? Sin always drags us down. If you choose to immerse your life in a life of filthiness and a life of sin, it'll drag you down to the filthy places of the world. And this man had an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "Let us alone. What do we have to do with you?" You see, this unclean spirit recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. They know He is one who has authority. He came to conquer, didn't He? And he knew what Jesus could do in his life. He knew. And Jesus rebuked him. He said, "Hold thy peace." That's a good old East Texas word too. Shut up and come here. That's what that means. Translated, Jesus spread fame, the Bible says, throughout the region. Throughout the region. You see, you get Jesus in a church, and no telling what happens. Man, when the fire of revival or the spark of revival or the flames of revival get exciting in a church, let me tell you something. People will come. They like to come where there's excitement. You see? What do we do after we eat? Well, we go home to church or go home to eat. Bible says, Mark says immediately, they went to the house of Simon Andrew. They went home. But on this occasion, it wasn't to a meal. There was sickness in the home, folks. You know, in our homes, in our churches, we have sicknesses today. We have people that do not make a commitment to God. They're just half-hearted Christians. Jesus comes, and he wants to heal your church and heal your life. And only he can do that. You see, there's fever in our churches of sinfulness. There's fever of hurtful words. There's fever of anger when people get up on the wrong track and put themselves before God. There's people in churches with hot tempers, and we say things that hurt others sometimes. We need to get rid of that. Only Jesus can do that. Well, when Jesus came into the home, he took the sick person, laid hands on her, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left. I tell you what, when we get our lives right with God, we'll see our churches grow. We'll see our lives begin to grow. You know what we need to do tonight is just take our problems to Jesus Christ. He always heals our hearts. That's what he came to do. He came to make us well again, you see. Mark gives us a picture of Jesus. And if you go through the whole thing of Mark, it's a picture of people bringing people to Jesus. Now, how many people have you brought to Jesus this year? I always say this towards the end of the year. How many people have changed their life because of you? And if you can't say, "Well, preacher, I don't know anybody." Well, you need to start. We're about to start end of the year and start a new year. Wouldn't it be great that we just invited one or two people and we worked with them and told them about Jesus Christ, that they changed their life this next year? No, you know what happened? This church would be packed out, overflowing. We need to get people to Jesus. They're not going to get to Jesus unless we bring them. Unless we bring them. Jesus says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel. That means urge them. Don't give up on them to come into the church. The Bible says here Jesus came, one, preaching salvation, preaching repentance and faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came to call us to be soul winners, folks. There's no greater joy than to win someone to Christ. He came for us to be in the healing business. You know, you can heal someone's heart. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't have any healing power." Yes, you do. A kind word, a listening ear. You see, that's what a lot of people need. Just somebody to listen to them. Somebody to pray with them. That's a healing. Let us do that this next year. Let us be winning somebody for Christ. Let us be doing what Jesus did, bringing people to salvation. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you've called us to a ministry. You've called us to preach the word. You've called us to bring people to you. And Lord, if we're not doing that, what are we doing? May we examine ourselves and see where we're at, that this next year might be a great year for First Baptist Church in Gun Barrel City. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stay?